This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Hour number two as we roll along. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up for you. You don't want to miss that. We also talk in the little NBA draft. That'll be on Thursday night. I like the NBA draft. I don't like it as much as I like the NFL draft, or just because I'm more of an NFL guy. But I like the NBA draft because I like the history of the NBA draft. I like the controversies that come with the NBA draft. And the more importantly, and I've said this before, I think what separates the NBA draft in terms of it being slightly better than the NFL draft is that you really are expecting impact players immediately. NFL players can take a couple of years to develop. Some of them impact right away. Some of them you're playing the long game, right? You may draft a quarterback that you're not going to start right away, or expecting a rookie running back to lead the team in rushing may not be the ideal plan, but you know, we've had some rookies make an immediate impact, but it's really hard to change an entire team with being, you know, a rookie in the NFL. But in the NBA, you can. You can absolutely change the dynamics of your franchise. You can change the way they play. You can change the way they make the postseason. You can change the way they're a threat. You can change the way people will join you because of that player down the road. It was not that long ago, Luka Doncic and Trae Young were drafted. Remember, the Hawks drafted Luka and Dallas drafted Trae Young, and they swapped them. Right. And then the big debate, should they have kept him, et cetera, et cetera. But the reality of it is that Trae Young is working for Atlanta and Luka Doncic is working for the Mavericks. And think about where those organizations were before those guys arrived. You can also have a moment like where Nikola Jokic comes out of absolutely nowhere and he's drafted during a commercial break. Right, where they come back from the round two and they tell you who the Denver Nuggets took. And next thing you know, he's a two-time MVP. Franchises can change Thursday night instantly. We've been kind of talking on and off about, you know, Zion Williamson. And we were kind of buzzing about when he'd play, when he would come back, how important it will he be down the road. And it's kind of unfortunate because he actually had that level where being drafted the New Orleans Pelicans could have changed what they were going to be after losing Anthony Davis and whatnot. But that is yet to come to fruition. But Thursday night, franchises like the Orlando Magic, if they go with Chet Holmgren, if they go with Jabari Smith, could change and become playoff contenders for years to come. You never know. But in the NFL, you tend to see it 2 or 3 years later where you go, ah, that guy is really important to the defense or the offensive line or wherever you're drafting him.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser!
Ah, yes, the good, the bad, and the dumb. We have reached the midweek point of the week, but you know what? Anytime we do this, it is worth it. Good of the day, Ron Culver.
Good of the day has to go to John Wall's agent.
All right, yes, John Wall's agent.
I'm not sure who his agent is besides certified genius, Mensa member, I'm going to say. So John Wall, if you didn't hear, he is exercising his player option.
Yep.
For the 22-23 season, upcoming season, and where he will earn an estimated $47.3 million.
That's amazing.
Out of his entire contract with the Rockets, I'm just quickly doing the math here, it's roughly, at least $130 million total. He has played 60 games.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. I gave him too many. 40.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say
40 games.
He's not played a lot.
He's not played at all. And is getting around about $140, $150 million.
Yeah. Are the Rockets continuing to look out to trade him to get
out of
that? I
think so, but who's going to how are you going to trade him?
Who wants to be on the hook for $47.4 million?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, goodness gracious.
Not many teams just have $50 million just sitting around like, yeah, we got to spend it.
Plus, doesn't it bog the Rockets down because they got two young guys that they really like and they kind of want to build around Kevin Porter and Jalen Green.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Rockets are kind of the basketball version of the Angels.
Yeah, right.
You know, just hand out bad contracts. I remember Josh Hamilton got just crippled the Angels for years, for decades.
Yeah.
Oh, John Wall. Good stuff, though. 47 and nearly 47 and a half million bucks, man.
That's right. You got to give it up to his agent. I mean, he made John Wall made 44.3 last season, didn't play one game.
Right, exactly. But I we talked about the Rockets during the season. Like they were obviously not very good, and they will have the number 3 pick on Thursday night. But those two players were pretty good. Like
they are
really good, like fun to watch, and like, yeah, it's going to take some time, and you got to build around them, and you know, all the good stuff. You got to let them grow and develop. But like for building pieces, like the Rockets have got some nice building pieces. It just might take a while. But John Wall and his injured Achilles and
I don't even know at this point.
Who knows what he's got?
Injured body.
It's not just exactly helping.
If you say injured body, you're fine. You're covered.
And tying up $48 million or $47.5 million is not exactly helping in the building process.
And why wouldn't he exercise his player option? I mean, he's not going to get that anywhere else.
No,
that's there. No. That was a no-brainer.
No, absolutely, 100% no-brainer. It's
yeah. We're going to be talking about Kyrie Irving later on in the show.
Right.
Who, you know, we're all wondering, oh, is he going to exercise his player option? John Wall's not even a thought. It's like, well,
his is like 36. Yeah. Wall has got $11 million more than that on a torn Achilles or whatever it was and 40 games under his belt. Like, you take that and you run with that. Security or no security, you run with that.
All of a sudden, Kyrie Irving's COVID season last year looks awesome.
Right.
Like, exactly. Oh, you got your money's worth, Nets.
Exactly. Oh, my God. These guys are getting nearly 50 million a year to play basketball.
In John Wall's case, not play basketball.
How about not play basketball? That's even better. Play basketball.
He didn't play 1 minute last season.
Now, you know how, like, there's certain people. All right. For example, I had a knee injury in 2020 and I had surgery in the winter of 2021.
Yep.
And so every now and then, like, it hurts, but it doesn't prevent me from doing things. But I keep going, it could prevent me from doing things, quote unquote, right? Like could John Wall go, oh, this road trip, man, I don't really want to go on this road trip. Ouch. You know, ouch. Coming off that tear, just bothering me enough that I just kind of want to sit out this road trip. Like, could you? Like, could you do that with an Achilles tear? Is it just one, or is that just like one thing that, like, if it heals, it heals, and there's nothing you could do about it?
Because
I think you could get yourself out of some work with that.
Yeah, I think you can milk it.
I think you can milk it. Because, I mean, there's going to be a point with the Rockets that it's going to be like, well, we've lost 8 in a row. I don't think I want to go to the Cleveland, Minnesota, Milwaukee trip. Right, I think I'd rather stay in rehab.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, you can just spin it and say, like, you know, I don't want to make it worse.
I don't want to make it worse. So if you wouldn't mind, I'll stick around here.
Mm-hmm.
I'll come into the facility and work out a little bit, but I'll mostly be counting my money if that's okay with you. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, and this is just kind of the sign of the times. You know, we don't talk about it enough, but you know, it deals with gas prices. Because gas prices are stupid.
They are.
But a manager of a gas station in Rancho Cordova, California, which is just outside Sacramento, was fired for mistakenly setting the gas price at 69 cents per gallon rather than $6.99 per gallon.
How do you make that mistake?
Do you just do it
too fast?
I guess so. He just put the decimal in the wrong spot.
Okay, that seems like... Okay, here's the deal. On my computer, I can't even log out of certain things without the computer going, do you want to log out? Are you sure you want to log out?
Right.
Do you really sure you want to log out? Like I can't, like, documents. You want to save this? You sure you don't want to save this? Are you, because you're not getting it back. You better, like, don't you think those things are set to be like 69 cents? You sure you want 69 cents?
I'm thinking it didn't have that feature.
Like, what is it? Like one of those, like dials that you like click it in, like click, click, click. Like, why wouldn't there be a confirming the price before we set it on the pumps and the sign?
Right. I mean, it's 69 cents versus $6.99.
How much did that cost that guy?
It's roughly about $16,000 in a couple of hours.
Yeah. Okay.
Because, you know, that's the power of us all having cell phones. Because I promise you, if I hit up a pump that was at 69 cents a gallon, I'm telling my wife.
Hey, sure, I'm telling everybody.
Bring the car. Fill it
exactly.
up. Exactly. And then she's going to tell a friend, and then they tell two friends, and so on and so on and so on.
I'm not 100% sure if this is accurate, so don't. I'm just asking this question, but I believe, because I feel like this is something I've been told, that gas stations, your normal convenience store gas station, makes no money on the gas. They make all the money on what's inside the store.
Pretty much. So, I think you're right about that.
So you go pump the owner isn't like, oh God, man, it's great. The pump is awesome and I'm making a ton of money. It's no, I need those people to come in and buy ho-hos and cupcakes and muffins and drinks and beer. Or I need them to come in and buy that. The gas. That's a wash. So this guy literally lost because he's got to pay for the gas and then give money for the gas. But he was out. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. And I understand. I can see why he was fired.
I can totally see why he's fired, because you don't know if it's on purpose or not, right?
Yeah.
Like if he said it and told his buddies, come down and fill your tanks, 69 cents. I'm going to set it that way. You have no clue if he did it or not. You'd like to think he didn't. Right? Like, you kind of think it would not be an honest mistake, but you're not 100% sure.
Yep.
So you gotta make it fireable. It's too bad, but that's the way it is. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is a Swiss ad agency held a business retreat, right?
Right.
And like most business retreats, they had team building exercises, self-building, you know, exercises and, you know, things like that to kind of boost morale, you know, boost yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like what, you know, most companies do. Well, they held a firewalking exercise that actually sent 13 people to the hospital.
Why are we doing firewalking? Okay.
I don't know. Every single time I've seen it on TV or a movie, it's either a shaman that is doing it and doing it perfectly, or it's the blubbering idiot that is, you know, going ha, 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 all the way across.
Why are we? I will never firewalk in my life.
What is it proof?
Well, let me ask this question. If you walk on hot coals and you mentally have the right frame of mind on the pain, does your feet not still burn?
Right.
Just physics.
Afterwards.
Right.
Like maybe you were able to get across. Because I'll tell you this, I've walked across a hot patio.
Right.
And, you know, it hurts. Like, yeah. I can get a few feet in. I might be able to walk like the distance of a fire pit or whatever it is. I might be able to walk that distance, but my feet are still hurting.
No kidding. Yeah. So these coals, now, are they just at a temperature where it's like we're not scalding your feet? You're not going to get third degree burns.
Well, apparently
it's
not.
It's just hot enough. To you're basically trying to block out pain, but you're not going to suffer any we're not going to bandage up your feet and put Vaseline on it or burn cream on it or whatever.
Yeah, maybe it's not permanent damage.
Right.
But I mean, this thing was hot enough to send 13 people to the hospital. They had to call they had 10 ambulances.
Yeah. They didn't monitor that. That's stupid. Like if you're going to, oh my God, I don't care what retreat I'm on. I don't care what peer pressure I'm under. I'm old enough to tell everybody to get out.
Yeah, do the trust fall.
Yeah,
do a ropes course.
I'll do a ropes course. I'll do the trust fall. But you ain't never gonna have me walking across coals.
Do that one. I mean, I did one once where it was, you know, they had like it was like a net between two trees, and you had each person had to go through a different hole. And you know, not touch. So you had to figure out how to get everyone through the holes in the net.
That's cool.
So, some were low, some were high. So like the low ones, you know, one person can do it by himself. But then you had to figure out like how are we going to get, you know, Bob up in the top hole?
Yeah.
And without touching, you know, without touching the rope. And you had to, you know, it's like, well, you got to send some people through, and but you can't have all the strong people on one side and do that.
Well, yeah, do that. Don't do the firewalking thing.
I mean, that leave firewalking for the movies.
Right.
And TV shows, because we laugh at the stupidity of it.
Yeah, that's dumb. Dumb. That was a Swiss ad agency you were talking
about? A
Swiss
ad agency.
Golly. I can't believe we're still doing that in 2022. I thought we learned our lessons by now.
Yeah.
All right,
axe throwing.
Yeah, axe throwing is fine.
Dude, that's a good team building exercise.
Beautiful.
That's fun.
I don't mind throwing a few axes at some some wood.
Yeah.
I'm good. That'd be fun, but not, no. All right.
You know what? We're suggesting axe building until we hear about, well, these guys did axe building, but
yeah.
You know, Joe no, over there thought it'd be a good idea. Hey, knock this can off my head.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, no doubt.
Now he's a little shorter.
No, they always happen. All right, that's a good, the bad, and the dumb on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. As you mentioned earlier, we're going to talk Brooklyn Nets coming up at hour number three and what their situation is with Kyrie Irving as we continue. It is Wake Up Call and Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us. We continue. It's Wake Up Call. We're going to talk about the PGA Tour coming up in about 15 minutes. And we said yesterday we were full of breaking news on golf, but we also reported that the PGA Tour is going to be meeting with the players on the just before the Travelers Championship that is going on in Connecticut. And they've come out and now have made some changes. So we've got that coming up. Real quick, you brought up that story about the firewalking with the Swiss ad agency.
Yeah. What did that remind you of?
It reminded me, I saw a commercial over my vacation that I was like, oh, I got to talk about this commercial. And the commercial was for a life insurance agency. And the whole ad is this guy, and he's avoiding murderous acts against him by his family members. And I kid you not, the ad basically says life insurance so good your family might act on it.
Wow.
And then they remind you that murdering the person with the policy will not enact the life insurance. So it was kind of pointless, but it was kind of funny. Like, kids were like trying to kill their dad. Like, the wife was trying, like, I really wish I could find it, but I remember watching it going, oh my God, I got to talk about this. Like, it's brilliant, but dumb at the same time, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Like when you watch an ad where you go, that thing is silly and stupid, but you know what? It's a bold risk. It's a risk. I like it. And that's what this was. I was like, oh my God, it's basically putting out there what a lot of people think, right? It's like, oh, $1 million policy, though. You know what I mean? It's like, like Chris Rock said, you know what keeps us all from killing our loved ones? Episode of CSI, right? Like, but it was like so bold. Like the kid, like even the kids were in on it. Like, I'm going to get my share of the loot that's coming my way if dad kicks the bucket. But I remember going, but would people go, yikes, no thank you? Or would they go, you know what, that's funny. That's funny. And I'm going to sign up and get a $500,000 policy with this company.
I guess it's two different ways you can look at
it. I guess so. I've seen ads for things where I'm like, that's silly, but you know what? What the hell? I'll try their burger. Or what the heck? I'll do that.
That's a little different than, you know, hey, let
that's
me buy this,
different.
Get some insurance policy and kill someone.
Yeah, no, I know. Especially like it's just weird. Like, he's dodging things.
I'm picturing like the commercial looking like, what was that, Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
Yeah, really. Like, there was, I think somebody had an arrow that was thrown and it hit like a piece of fruit or something. Like,
yeah.
It was completely insane. Like, completely insane.
Got it. I mean, brilliant.
Like, the wife especially, it's like, wait a minute. You and I talked about this one time before, and we said, look, you know, I think we were actually talking about this in a serious manner. If my wife is missing, I'm suspect number one.
Yeah,
I'm suspect number one. If my wife is found dead somewhere, God forbid, I'm suspect number one on the, like, the cops aren't going to go, hey, do you know anything? I don't know anything about this. Oh my God, it's horrible. All right, well, that seems reasonable to us. All right, we'll go look for the killer somewhere else. No, they're going to poke. And this ad was funny, but it was like, it's like every Hollywood stereotype of a murdered spouse for the insurance money, right? Like, it was like they were playing on that. And it was just creepy. So I remember seeing it, and I said, I got to talk about it. I totally forgot. But then you brought up the Swiss ad agency, and I jumped right. I was like, oh, my God, yes. I totally totally remember that. Yeah. God. I don't think I could work at, like, I watched the series Mad Men. I don't think I could work in advertising, like coming up with, like, creative ads. I don't know how those guys do it. I've been in radio for 25, almost close to 30 years. And I'm always amazed at some of the ads that I've heard over my time, the creativity involved and things. And that's just radio. That's just the vocalization, the whole action of it, the whole plot of it, the whole getting actors to do it and everything like that. Some of them are great. Some of them are great. What if you want to go down a YouTube wormhole, Ron? There's a guy on YouTube who posts old, like, 1980s commercials, like, back to back to back to back. And every now and then I'll watch a few, like, I'm doing some editing or something, and I'll just throw that on there, and I'll watch old McDonald's ads and old Dunkin' Donuts ads, like stuff from the 80s. And one of my favorites is, because I grew up, I was a kid in the 80s, is watching the old cereal ads from back in the day, like all the cartoon characters that was promoting those sugary cereals and all the toys. And I love them because it just takes me back to when my brain was nothing more than consume all this stuff as much as you possibly can. Like the Star Wars toys, my friends and I had all the Star Wars action figures you could ask for. If I didn't have it, my friends had it. We never, ever were able to create the kind of sets that some of these kids on the commercials had. You know, it'd be like, it's the Empire Strikes Back Dagobah system. And they had all sorts of stuff on the outside of that thing that they were using to recreate scenes from Empire Strikes Back. My buddies and I could never really quite recreate that. It was always little things like that. And they were a ton of fun. But it also reminds you when you go back and watch some of that stuff, especially when you were a kid, how easily manipulative that all that stuff was. Like a lot of that sugar cereal commercials, like they were like, not only does this taste good, kids, it's chocolatey goodness. Oh my God, it's chocolate milk afterwards, and you can't get enough chocolate. We all love chocolate, don't we? But what the hell? We'll throw a toy inside the box, and you had to go get it. Like you had to get it. Do they even put toys in cereal anymore? Every now and then, I'll get cereal.
In a while, but if they do, it's like a stamp.
Yeah, yeah, it's nothing like it used to be.
No, he used to. I remember I grew up with siblings. I know you did too. You would empty out the entire box into a bowl toy before your brother did.
Yeah, yeah. Like if my parents went food shopping, like say on Friday, God, I'm not waiting till Tuesday.
No.
When I'm pouring the cereal in a bowl and then my little prize pops out. No way. I'm getting that bad boy now. Are you kidding me? Whatever it is, it didn't matter what it was. It could have been a. It could have been anything. I don't care. I can't even remember what was in the boxes, Ben. What did they give you? I know it wasn't anything major, but it was enough for me as a kid to just dive right in.
A lot of times it was
a box of Captain Crunch.
A lot of times it was like a baseball card.
Yeah, something along those lines.
I had to get it before everybody else.
Yeah. Remember the baseball cards that used to be on the back of the Hostess cupcake boxes and stuff? Those were great. You know, nowadays, like you're a kid, you cut those things out, and now they're like, yeah, you have to have the complete box, complete with all of the cupcakes inside of them. Untouched.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that sort of, no, they'll survive. Don't worry. Those would have survived.
Or like the thing, like, you know, I have a box of Star Wars toys at my parents' house, and my mom will always say to me, you know how much money you're sitting on? I'm like, yeah, $0. Cause they're all open. They're all played with. Parts are missing.
Yeah. Why didn't they tell us as kids?
Keep
it in the box, or buy one you want to play with and buy another to keep in a box for 40 years.
Yep.
Like never did that.
You tore open that box. That box was unrecognizable. By the time you got that toy going.
Michael in Atlanta, I love the old Jason Alexander McDonald's commercials. Oh, yes, yes.
Yep.
It was for the McDLT. Yeah. And he danced. He said he looked like a Broadway dancer with hair. I know. It was. You're 100% right. If you go back on YouTube and find these, they're really, really they're really interesting. I mean, it really was. Every McDonald's commercial back in my youth was an absolute community celebration of McDonald's. Everybody went, everybody sang the songs, and everybody ate the food. Every commercial was like that. All right, so what did the PGA Tour talk about at the Travelers Championship in response to the LIV Tour? That next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so yesterday on the show, we had a lot of breaking news about the world of golf, like Nick Faldo leaving the broadcast booth and Trevor Endelman replacing him. We also got the story of Brooks Koepka leaving for the LIV Tour. And we had some cuts from Brooks Koepka from the U.S. Open where he was like, I'm trying to concentrate on the U.S. Open and you're putting a dark cloud on it. And, oh, by the way, I've never even thought about this LIV Tour, despite the fact that it's like the major golf news that has been on the everybody's forefront for long. Even his brother's playing in this thing. But what I want to say this about Brooks Koepka, and I know yesterday I kind of had a rant, but it was kind of late in the show. I don't like false bravado. I mean, you're either brave and confident and cocky, or you're putting on a show, right? And you're putting on an act. And I think a lot of times with Brooks Koepka and athletes like Brooks Koepka, they're a little bit ego driven. They want to be a little bit in the news for the way they want to be portrayed, right? Koepka wants to be portrayed as a guy that is so talented at golf that he doesn't even care about it. Like, he's so good at it. It's like, I don't even know what, you know, I just go out and hit the ball and drink beer and have a good time. That's fine if that's true. But when you notice things about that, where you say, you know what? I don't think you're as confident and bold as you think you are. Then it makes me question every other thing you've done. And don't get me wrong. I like Brooks Koepka. He's a 4-time major winner. And there is something about the coolness of golf that sort of, that he eludes, right? That he exudes, I should say. You know, that Justin Thomas was the son of a PGA professional, grew up playing the game when he was like three, and just, you know, golf, 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 tournament, 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 tournament. My whole life is golf. Everything about me is golf. I can't get enough of golf. And Koepka is almost like the opposite, right? A guy that's like, well, I play baseball, I play golf, and I'm pretty good at both. And you know what? I decided, what the heck? I'll make a career out of it, whatever. But what I saw yesterday, or what I heard yesterday, and well, really all of last week, was something completely different. And all of these guys that are leaving for the LIV Tour now, you know, if you're going to make a decision like that, then be bold about it. Stand up for it. You know, stand up for it. Because if you're not, then what are you going to? If you can't stand up in front of the media and say, yeah, I'm going over there and I'm really excited about it. It gives me an opportunity to do this, this, and this, and make this, this, and this. I'm all for it. I like shotgun starts for whatever reason. I like no cut tournaments. I like the fact there's only 8 events out of the year and I can still play in the majors and they're paying me 9 figures. If you can't say any of that confidently, then I got a question where, how confident are you in this endeavor that you're about to pursue? Koepka avoided all of those questions before the U.S. Open, and maybe because he didn't want to be a story during the U.S. Open, and that's admirable. That's admirable. But it also lends me to believe that all of this stuff about, I didn't even know, I don't even know anything about that, right? All these kind of lies. I mean, the idea that he didn't know about the LIV Tour, like, I don't even know what that is. No, you know what that is. Don't patronize us. You know what that is. But the reality of it is, and I'll take this way, and if it's not true, so be it. But I honestly think that him, Bryson DeChambeau, Patrick Reed, those guys that are leaving for this thing now, that when it's heading to Pumpkin Ridge in Oregon, did it only because they were too scared to be part of the initial event that happened in London. They didn't want any part of that stuff. They didn't want any part of what was going to happen in week one of that tour. They wanted to see what it would look like, and then they were going, okay, now the water's warm, I can go swimming in the pool. And I, honest to God, I think that's exactly what Koepka did with all of this. And it makes me think he's a little less brave than he likes to pretend he is. That he's a little less confident than he likes to pretend he is. That moxie, that persona that he has, deep down, he was probably a petrified, nervous wreck as to what this thing would do. And so that's the only way I'm taking this. Because those comments that he made at the U.S. Open were stupid. And they were silly. You can say, you can acknowledge the existence of the LIV Tour and say, hey, right now I'm focusing on the U.S. Open. I understand what they're doing, but I'm focusing on the U.S. Open. That's an answer. It may not be the answer people are looking for, but who cares? You gave them a legit answer. But to say you have no idea, like never thought about it, you don't even care what it is or know what it, that's a lie. They're throwing six figures at these guys. I mean, nine figures. Nine figures. Come on. The idea, you have no idea what this is. Please stop it. Now, as far as the PGA Tour. So one of the news we got yesterday was it was meeting with the people, with the players at the Travelers Championship in Connecticut to discuss some things. And one of the things that they're talking about is, okay, we're going to start increasing some purses to around $20 million. The LIV Tour has purses of $25 million. And now we're going to have, in eight marquee events, we're going to have them up. We're going to move the purse up to $20 million. Then we're going to have a couple of new events on a global golf series that is going to have no cuts, limited fields, and a purse of $25 million. Now, does that sound familiar? Because what I just told you is exactly what LIV Golf is doing. No cuts, limited field, purse of $25 million. So now here's the thing. If the PGA Tour can somewhat match LIV Golf in a couple of these things, outside of the signing bonuses, they're not going to be able to touch those. So the signing bonuses are going to have to be the thing you go. When you go to LIV Golf, it's going to be the signing bonus. Because if the PGA Tour can start offering a couple of these events with no cuts, limited fields, and a purse of $25 million, well, that's pretty much matching what they're doing on the LIV Golf Tour. So if there's no cuts, it means I get paid. If it's a limited field, it means I get paid more. And if there's a purse of at least $25 million, well, they're giving away $25 million, so I'm assuming that it's going to be close to the payouts are going to be close. And I get to keep my tour card. And I get to play in events I actually like Pebble Beach or TPC Scottsdale or Riviera or the Honda Classic or the Arnold Palmer Invitational, Muirfield Village, all of these events that are kind of cool. They're not majors, but they're kind of a big deal. If that's the case, maybe you'll see less defection. But here's the big if. If you're Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, Brooks Koepka, Patrick Reed, you're not going to be able to go back. You can't go, I changed the way the PGA Tour works. I got them to do the things I wanted to do. I wanted them to do it with. I wanted them to have a couple events of no cuts. I wanted the purses to be increased. I wanted, and this is another thing they're talking about, overhauling the schedule so that golfers can play less and not feel like they have to play in fall events in order to continue along with the FedEx Cup points. So if those things are enacted and the PGA Tour becomes a much better PGA Tour for the players, then those guys that are making the nine figures over on LIV Golf enjoy the money. Because the PGA Tour dream is over. You've given that up. You've sacrificed that to get the PGA Tour to be what it's going to be for future golfers. If you're cool with that, you're cool with that. But I've used this as a marriage analogy before, and it's apropos. If you're having trouble with your spouse, if there are things you both need to work on, and you decide to get a divorce, and you marry somebody else, and you realize that your significant other is improving in those qualities, it's too late. You've already committed to somebody else. Or you can work together on improving what your marriage is. That's what Phil Mickelson should have done. But it took LIV Golf and the threat of it to get the PGA Tour to do this. So in the end, it did exactly what Phil wanted it to do. But Phil had to go over there to get them to do it. And Dustin had to go over there. And these other guys had to go over there too. But what they really wanted, or at least Phil wanted, Dustin didn't say anything about this. And the other guys haven't said anything about this. But Phil had. He wanted a better PGA Tour. He always wanted a better PGA Tour. I don't think he really wanted to go to LIV Golf. I think he was seriously hoping that LIV Golf would be enough of a pre-threat, meaning we haven't teed off yet, but we're here, that the PGA Tour would go, hey, before this thing gets way out of control, what do we got to do? And Phil could be part of a player advisory group that would say, all right, purses, couple events, no cut, limited schedule, limited field in certain key events. This is what we're looking for. And the PGA Tour could go, okay, and now we've made it a bit better. But I think that's where we stand with all this. And Ron and I, you and I are talking about the validity of this thing going forward, right? How long LIV Golf has got more money than it knows what to do with, and its purpose is sports washing. Its purpose may not be an investment that brings back a return. It may just all be sports washing. If that's the case, LIV Golf's got a tremendous lifeline. But if it is one of those things where players go there, they disappear, we don't really care about Patrick Reed anyway, Bryson DeChambeau, all right, fine, take your 360-yard drives and go tear up Doral and Pumpkin Ridge and all those other places. But if you can keep Justin Thomas, Scottie Scheffler, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, Colin Morikawa, who has yet to decide yet, said yesterday, I'm not committing to anything. You keep them on the PGA Tour. You keep the young guys coming up on the PGA Tour with this. Then LIV Golf's not going to have its players eventually. Those guys are going to be gone soon, right? Phil is not going to be playing until he's 60. Sergio and those guys are going to be afterthoughts. If the action is with it on the LIV Tour, if that's where the youth is, if that's where the game is heading, is if that's where a majority of your major champions are coming from, I mean, if LIV Tour gets one or two Masters titles, that'd be great for them. But if they get zero majors going forward, if none of their golfers win majors, eventually the tour will be the force again and be the home of the world-class golfers. But it had to be this. It had to start with this. Because this is exactly what some of those guys were looking for. But for some of them, it's too late. Jay Monahan is not going to bring them back. Now, who knows? You never say never. But sometimes, like a parent, sometimes you got to stand firm with your punishment. I think Jay Monahan needs to stand firm with his punishment. He told them, you go to that thing, you're suspended. You're not coming back. And they made the decision anyway. But business dollars raise their eyebrows again and they go, all right, you can come back in. But who knows? But that's where they were yesterday after the meeting. All right. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Brooklyn Nets. We'll talk about them coming up in hour number three and what they're going to do with Kyrie. The impasse and what could be leading to, is there a possible trade in the future for Kyrie, Brooklyn, and anybody else on that list? We'll talk about that coming up again in the next hour. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. Coming up in hour three, we'll get back to the Rob Gronkowski retirement announcement. We'll see if that will stick. We'll also talk Brooklyn Nets basketball. Kyrie Irving has until, a couple of days to accept the player option of $36.4 million. And if he does, he gets a one-year deal, and that's not security he's looking for, so it's very unlikely he'll take it. But what exactly would Brooklyn give him, and what exactly will Brooklyn do with Kyrie Irving, somebody that has been problematic? NBA draft coming up on Thursday night. The Orlando Magic have the number one overall pick. The Oklahoma City Thunder are picking second, and the Houston Rockets are picking third. If you're a bettor on these things, which I don't know if you are or not, but it looks like Jabari Smith of Auburn is the favorite to go number one overall, and Chet Holmgren of Gonzaga is the second choice to go number one overall. If you're a betting person,
I don't trust a guy named Chet though.
I don't either. Yeah, right.
I think that was a weird science ruined me.
Right. That was our good friend from Twister.
Yeah, Bill Paxton.
I was just gonna say a Bill. I can't ever remember. It's a Paxton or a Pullman.
Yeah,
but it was Bill Paxton. Yeah. Weird science. It's Anthony Michael Hall, right?
Yeah. And I can't remember the girl's name.
What was the girl's name? Kelly LeBrock?
Yes, that's it.
Look at that memory. Didn't she marry Steven Seagal?
Did she?
I think. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm going to say yes.
She was a sex symbol of the 1980s.
Was she? I didn't get that from the movie at all.
Right. She was also in a movie with Gene Wilder, Woman in the Red Dress or something like that.
Yeah, she was also in Kingpin.
Kingpin. Was that her in Kingpin?
I think so.
Oh, wow. Okay, I did not know that. Wow.
A little older, but, you know.
A little older, yeah.
Still looked good.
Sure, still looked good. Yeah. Weird science. That's when Those two guys.
We also forgot Robert Downey Jr. in that role in that movie as well.
Oh, he was a bully as well.
He was the bully.
Oh, that's funny that you mentioned that, because I remember that years ago that was on something, and I paused it when he was in the mall and he was going to pour Orange Julius or something on top of their heads. And I paused it and I said to my son, I said, "Who's that?" And he was like, "I don't know. I don't know." I go, "That's Iron Man." And he goes, "What?" I go, "That's the actor who played Iron Man." I said, "In the 80s, he was in a bunch of movies.
He was huge. He was
a big deal. He was in Johnny B. Good. Do you remember that football movie with Anthony Michael Hall? He was the buddy of Anthony Michael Hall. But in that weird science was they used a computer to create a woman.
Yeah.
They just created very Frankensteinish.
And I always felt bad for the other guy because his career went nowhere.
Right. Exactly.
I don't know. Maybe it did do something.
If that was Weird Science, what was the name of the movie with Val Kilmer?
Real Genius.
Real Genius. That was another 80s hit.
That movie is fantastic.
That movie is really good. I can't believe I forgot the name of it. But I know all the one, details.
Remember the guy who, Lazarus, who lived Laszlo. In the closet?
Laszlo.
He lived in the closet. That's actually Uncle Rico.
Really?
In Napoleon Dynamite.
No kidding.
Yep.
Look at us uncovering some great 80s movie trivia.
You don't need any 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon here.
No,
you got
we
us.
Don't. You got us. You got us. Hour 3 coming up next. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Thanks for joining us.